The body is also sometimes considered to be a bag containing three elements: mucus, bile, and air. According to Bhagavatam, one who considers this bag of mucus, bile, and air to be the self is considered no better than a cow or an ass. Next 15, the floors of the house in that city were made of sapphire, crystal, diamonds, pearls, emeralds, and rubies. Because of the luster of the houses in the capital, the city was compared to a celestial town named Bhogavati. Wherefore, in the city of the body, the heart is considered to be the capital, just as the capital of the state is especially gorgeous, filled with various high buildings and lustrous palaces. The heart of the body is filled with various desires and plans for material enjoyment. Such plans are sometimes compared to valuable jewels, such as sapphires, rubies, pearls, and emeralds. The heart becomes the center for all planning for material enjoyment. In that city, there were many assembly halls, street crossings, streets, restaurants, gambling houses, markets, resting places, flags, festoons, and beautiful parks. All these surrounded the city. Therefore, in this way, the capital is described. In the capital, there are assembly houses and many squares, many street crossings, avenues and streets, many gambling places, markets, and places of rest, all decorated with flags and festoons. The squares are surrounded with railings and are devoid of trees. The heart of the body can be compared to the assembly house, for the living is within the heart, along with the Paramatma. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya Chaham Hari Sandhana Stoma Tasma Jigyama Bhavanam Cha. The heart is the center of all remembrance for the expulsion of liberation. In the body, the eyes, ears, and nose are different parts of attraction for sense enjoyment, and the streets for going hither and thither may be compared to different types of air blowing within the body. The yoga process for controlling the air within the body and different nerves is called Sushumna, the path of liberation. The body is also a resting place because when the living entity becomes fatigued, he takes rest within the body. Palms and soles of the feet are compared to flags and festoons. Text 17, on the outskirts of that city were many beautiful trees and creepers encircling a nice lake. Also surrounding that lake were many groups of birds and bees that were always chanting, humming. Wherefore, since the body is a great city, there are various arrangements, such as lakes and gardens, for sense enjoyment. Of the various parts of the body, those which incite sexual impulses are referred to here indirectly. Because the body has genitals, when the living entity attains the right age, be he man or woman, he becomes agitated by sexual impulse. As long as one remains a child, he is not agitated by seeing a beautiful woman. Although the sense organs are present, unless the age is ripe, there is no sex impulse. The favorable conditions surrounding the sex impulse are compared here to a garden or a nice solitary park. When one sees the opposite sex, naturally the sex impulse increases. It is said that if a man in a solitary place has not become agitated upon seeing a woman, he is to consider a brahmachari. But this practice is almost impossible. The sex impulse is so strong that even by seeing, touching, or talking, coming into contact with, or even talking to the opposite sex, even in so many subtle ways, one becomes sexually compelled. Consequently, a brahmachari or sannyasi is prohibited to associate with women, especially in a secret place. The shastras enjoin that one should not even talk to a woman in a secret place, even if she happens to be one's own daughter, sister, and mother. The sex impulse is so strong that even if one is very learned, he becomes agitated with such circumstances. If this is the case, how can a young man in a nice park remain calm and quiet after seeing a beautiful young woman? That city was surrounded by parks and walls and parks, and within it were towers, canals, windows, and outlets. The houses there were decorated with domes made of gold, silver, and iron. The floors of the house in that city were made of sapphire, crystal, diamonds, pearls, emeralds, and rubies. Because of the luster of the houses in the capital, the city was compared to a celestial town named Bhogavati. In that city, there were many assembly houses, street crossings, streets, restaurants, gambling houses, markets, resting places, flags, festivals, and beautiful parks. All these surrounded the city. On the outskirts of that city were many beautiful trees and creepers encircling a nice lake. Also surrounding that lake were many groups of birds and bees that were always chanting honey. So here we have a description of the city that Paramjana found, which of course is allegorical for the jiva getting into the human body. So all of these descriptions of the city are symbolic of different parts of the body and different functions of the body. As was previously mentioned, Paramjana thought this city was very good or very nice. So therefore, we'll see the description of the city is made in very luxuriant terms. There are many things for enjoyment in the city. If the city was full of bad roads and old buildings and no parks, etc., smoke and bad smells, etc., it wouldn't be a very attractive city. So we'll see this city is described in a very nice way, just as we'll see when heavenly cities are described in the Bhagavatam or even Dwarka. We'll see that there's a description of parks and lakes and roads, well-constructed roads and crossroads, etc., halls, assembly houses, etc. So this is a description of a very nice city, not a poor city, a very, very wealthy city, and therefore convenient for and attractive to Paramjana, the jiva. So all the different elements here act as symbolic of other things, and though all these things are mentioned here, the explanation of everything takes place in the next chapter, I guess, after 4 chapters later. All the different elements are particularly described and what they mean. So here only the description takes place. So we find that the city has walls, parks, towers, canals, windows, and outlets, domes, etc. And as Prabhupada explains in the purport, this refers to the skin and the different channels in the body and the different outlets of the body. So the city actually is representing the body. And the three metals, gold, silver, and iron, represent the three gunas. So in other words, the body also not only has many features to it, but these features also are influenced by the gunas. So as we know, human beings can be sattvic, rajasic, or tamasic, depending on predominance. So of course not completely tamasic or completely sattvic, but mixture, generally a mixture. But because one guna becomes prominent, then we say that person is sattvic or that person is tamasic. Nevertheless, all three gunas are usually combined in some way. So the body is influenced by these gunas, just as a city may have gold domes and silver domes and iron domes in it. So various bodies will be affected by different gunas by their nature. And of course, all of this is attained not just by free will, but also by karma. And of course, it'll be explained later when Paramjana has to die. Now he says, fine, well, this is a wonderful city. So though it is wonderful and it looks like he's choosing this body, actually he cannot completely choose it because it is also inherited by karma. According to karma, you get a good body or a human body, and according to bad karma, you may get an animal or a plant body. So maybe quite different. So the pleasurable body of the human being is attained by karma as well as desires. So the human body particularly is considered attractive for the jiva, and therefore it's described in this particular way. If we have an animal body, then we won't have that same type of description. So this is the human body particularly being described with all the different organs of the body functioning properly. And describes the houses in that city, made out of all sorts of precious jewels, very, very attractive. So in this way, the of course, jewels are colorful also, and they sparkle, so they have a great attraction for a person. So the jiva is very attracted to this particular body because it's of its wonderful construction and its functions, how it functions. And then it describes all the different streets and markets, resting places, etc. So this refers to different parts of the body, like the feet, etc., and the different channels running in the body, and the heart, etc. All these are necessary for functioning of the body, just as in a city we need various facilities for functioning. So we need the roads for transport, etc. We need the houses for living, and we need the assembly halls for meetings, etc., and planning things out. The city actually is a very complex structure. And similarly, the body is also a complex structure. And everything has its particular purpose, and it functions in a particular way. Actually not just the body, but even the cells of the body function in the same way. So if we look at an individual cell, even that is a very, very complex organism in itself. And it's so complex that even scientists really haven't figured out how it actually works. They have some idea, but not completely. So if we look at the cell and then go down further to the smallest proteins, etc., and how they fit together, the whole thing is like a big city. Each cell of the body is like a city. Very, very complex. Things are going into the city, things are coming out of the city. In other words, the cell is absorbing different nutrients and water and salt, etc., and ejecting other things. How does it do it? And it's all done by these little protein things and amino acids and all these different things are running around and doing all sorts of things, and they work on certain pathways. It's not haphazard, it has to work in a very particular way. So it's a very, very complex thing on a cellular level and a molecular level happening. And so what to speak of, all the cells combining together and working in harmony to keep the whole body working in unity. Very, very complex. So that is just like the city. First you may have one house, and then you have several houses, then you have many houses, and then you get maybe thousands of houses. And then to have them in a unified structure, you have to do certain things. So you have to have streets, and you have to have law and order, and so many complex things are there just to keep the whole city functioning, otherwise it won't function properly. Just like that city with all its complexity. So the body itself also is a very, very complex thing. And it runs in a particular fashion. So the nature of the human body, that it runs very nicely for its particular purpose. And ultimately we see that purpose is not simply to enjoy in the body, but actually to go beyond the material body completely. If one is not careful, then one gets bewildered by the other aspects of the body, the enjoyment aspects of the body, and will think it's nice because of these different functions going on in the body and the pleasure one gets from it. So though this body looks very nice, this is actually not the whole purpose of it. Unfortunately, King Prashnaparishad was actually in illusion, so he was thinking in terms of material body. So therefore, this description is given in terms of the attractiveness of the material body to show him how it is ultimately destructible. So in this way we find that there were lakes and birds and bees and parks and other features. So it looked very, very nice. So even if one is not a human being, one is a animal or whatever, the jiva still thinks, this is nice. Due to illusion, they will think the particular body they're in is nice, and they try to enjoy in that particular body. So even though the animal bodies are not as enjoyable as the human body, still, the animals will also have this idea, yes, this is very, very nice. But of course, for the human being, because he has higher consciousness, he's more aware of the enjoyment aspect. Therefore, the description of the human body is given here. We will see later on that, unfortunately, the city gets destroyed. It's a very, very nice city, but it gets attacked. Enemies start attacking the city in terms of time and soldiers. And they burn the city down. So even though it's the whole description is very, very nice, ultimately, see, it's all destructible. So Puranjana saw the city, he entered the city, began enjoying the city, and then ultimately the city burned down. And then he had to leave the city. So then he had to suffer because he had to leave that city to which he was very, very attached. So the lesson here is that Prakshinavari should not be enamored by material enjoyment in the material body, and understand that the self or the Atma is different from the body and will have to leave the body at a certain time. So we'll see that Puranjana, who is the king of the city, he enters into the city and enjoys, and finally when it gets burned down, then he has to leave. He is forced to leave the city. And what happens? Then he takes another body. And in this case, when he takes the body, he takes the body of a woman, his wife, because he was attracted to his wife. In this story, he was attracted to his wife, and therefore he became a woman in his next lifetime, and he had a woman's body. This is the basic outline here. Why all these things are described is to show the attractive nature of the body once one gets into that particular body. Why? Because it gives facilities for certain types of enjoyment. Karma is simply the enactment of the law, but it depends upon the free will ultimately, because by our free will we commit activities, the activities give results in terms of karma. That's the relationship. The karma itself is not free will. But though karmas are acting, we have free will. Just like if you're in a house, you still have a choice of what you want to do in the house. It's not that that is making you choose everything because you're in a house. So because you have a particular karma of being in a particular body, that doesn't make you choose everything in that body. Certainly influences are there. If by karma you're in a tamagun body, yes, your choice is generally be tamagun, but as I said, there's a mixture there. So it's not always tamagun either. And by doing certain activities or by eating certain foods, then you can become more sattvic. And then you can change your choices also. So there's always flexibility. But we will see that free will operates better in sattva-gun than in tamagun. Because in sattva-gun, one is detached from material enjoyment. So therefore, the possibility of choices are more. Whereas when we're in the lower modes, generally, it is very difficult to make big choices. Generally, it's all enjoyment. But when we get to sattva, then we can make other choices. So the free will is rather limited in the lower modes of nature. Why?
Because there are so many options and opportunities for sense gratification.
Well, that's a general proposition. I mean, not in some cases. Some people, maybe they're just completely attracted to money all their life. That's it. Yeah, maybe. But that's a general proposition. And one reason, of course, is simply that's the nature of bodies in the material world, that animals have to survive, so they reproduce. So the same with the human beings. They must reproduce.
But of course, you also have to eat, you have to breathe, and so many other things are also there. But then the reproductive urge is also there, so that's why that is there.
ఏమైంది టెంపర్ చేస్తాను
ரொம்ப லேட்டா
கிருஷ்ணா.